It's always a mystery how to, you know, just like Brother Gordon says, see what I have to say today. There's always, you know, something different, and somehow all I hope is that I make it through this hour. But of course, I'm not counting on myself and counting on God. So, and you guys, ask you to pray for me because it is a burden in my shoulders. I've been able to express the words that God has put in my heart for today. And how is it? It's pretty awesome, pretty amazing. How is it? A lot of the times, that very same day, everything ties up, either with the song, conversations, or with the Sunday school. It all kind of goes together. It's just like God talks to us, like all of us, in a different way, and in our own time, in our own studies. Like today, I was able to teach the Sunday school for the little ones, which is something else. You had to have a lot of patience. But you know, if you think about it, patience is not just to have for the little ones, but with the older ones too. I have a coworker that I ask her. I say, "Hey, so who's? I have a question for you." A trivia question, like, who's Isaac in the Bible? She goes to a Pure Heart Church. It's a Pure Heart Church. It's a kind of mega church, kind of big church. And I ask her, "Who's Isaac?" She's like, "Jesus." I'm like, "Okay." "Who's Abraham?" And she's like, "Isn't it all tied up to Jesus?" I'm like, "Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But not everybody knows who is Jesus. Today, we, with the little ones and myself, we talk about the Lamb of God. And so Sophia and Titus, I hope I'm saying his name right, they were pretty excited to know who was the Lamb of God. Titus said it was a dinosaur. The dinosaur, he loves dinosaur, looks like, so. But then, at the end, we come out with the truth. What does it mean? What does the Lamb means in the Bible? So who is the Lamb of God? So that question is not just for the little ones, but for the people that they don't know who Jesus is. So, and then we open it with this song, where the Savior lead us like a shepherd. It talks about our Savior guiding us in our lives like a sheep. And so my sermon today, it's about who is Christ, who he claims to be. And so that's something that it's very important. It's very important, you know, for us that we are here every Sunday and we study the Holy Scriptures. We know, and I hope that we are pretty accurate and to who Jesus is. You know, and if you think about it, to his ministry, that was his point. He wanted to make his point about who he is. And if he had a hard time in those days, can you imagine today? Can you imagine today the hard time that we have trying to teach others or to show them others who Jesus is, who is God? You know, it's talking about Jesus, it's like talking about politicians. It can end up into a whole disaster, or if God, you know, prepare the heart of those particular person, it will end up with pleasure, understanding. And so it's just very hard. We live in days that, just like the scripture says, in the last days, the heart of man will grow cold, will grow hard. They don't want to hear anything. They don't want to believe anything. They don't want to trust anything. We live in days that, you know, trusting is it's very hard to trust anybody, because the days that we live in right now is just about to get gain, to take advantage, to see what you get, to see what you get out of it. You know, nothing is free. Nothing will do anything for you for free. Nothing will do for you anything that is to help you out. It's just to see what we can get. It's not easy. It's not easy. So our prayers and our hope is all in Christ. It's all in Christ. And of course, we have to be strong, and that we may endure to the end. And it's very hard. It's very hard. A lot of people walk away because enough is enough. They had enough, and they just don't feel. They don't feel the love. You know, I remember when I first started coming to the church, I was so happy, and I have this really cool feeling about being part of the church. I was a different person, but as the time goes by and the years goes by, that feeling can go away, and to the point that it's lonely. You know, you start to show and less and less. It's being seen. I can see it. So I just ask that we have to be strong when those feelings come to you, and just pray to God to take the feeling away, to those doubts away. Because doubting is very strong, and that is one of the most concerns everywhere. So things are happening in this church, but if you look around, it's not just in this church, it's happening everywhere. The heart of men are growing cold. So I like to say that I'm glad to see you here today. I thought it was going to be a small group, but it turned out to be a pretty good group. And I'm glad that God has touched your heart, that you should be here today. We are missing quite a few people. We know that, you know, there's a reunion going on. But I welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning, and to those who are watching over this live streaming. Welcome, and I pray and hope that the what God has put in my heart makes sense to you this day. So, like always, you know, when it's whatever day I'm preaching, and I'm sure this happened to everyone, because I have asked to the ones who've been here longer than me, and I'm not different. We are the same, and we all feel the same. So whatever day I have to down in the calendar to preach, I'm just hoping and pray, Lord, what do you want me to say? What should I present? And you know, you just have to open your scriptures and talk to God. That's the only way. When God talks to you, and you, so that's kind of when you kind of have a relationship with Him, when you read His word. And so, out of this busy life that we have, because we always have something going on, you have to make, or I had to make a little bit of time to open my books and read, because it's very, very hard. And I'm sure it's not just for me, but it's for everyone. And it's hard. And so that's probably, that could be part of what I said. Don't let those feelings bring you down, and just ignore them and just go on with your life, work, friends, things to do, and not make a little bit of time to talk to God. You have to do the best you can to get close to Him. And so as I was seeking what to say, I was going out at my house the other day. This is my door in my house, the main door. And above, I have the scripture of Joshua, which a lot of you guys do have the scripture too. And I look at it, and I'm like, well, this is something that I can talk about. Then I remember what I asked a lady in my work. And so, do we know, and I'm pretty sure we know, who do we serve? But a lot of times we need to remember who do we serve. So I'm going to read from Joshua 24. I'm going to do some reading here. 1 to 15. And it says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. This is about when Moses has died. And so, of course, no one knows where his body is. But he died, and so since Joshua was his assistant, he was always with him, God chose Joshua to continue leading the tribe of Israel as they were traveling through the desert. This, you know, after Exodus. So they're still not into the land of Canaan, where God has promised them the land, which there will be flooring, milk and honey. That's pretty cool too. Like if you're hoping you to get to that land and see, the other day we were talking about me, Rebecca, and my family at the table. Like literally, you know, if God told you, you know, I'm going to send you to this land where there's going to be milk and honey flowing, hoping to see milk and honey coming up from the ground. I don't know from where, you know, it's literally, but that's not what it means. I don't know. Other people will not know what does that mean, but you know, it's a blessing land. It's a blessing land, like the land that we live. So they were heading to there, and Joshua took over after Moses died. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel and Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads of their judge and for their officers. And they present themselves before God, and Joshua saying to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwell on the other side of the flood in the old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they serve other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiply his seed, and give him Isaac, and I give unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and give Esau the Mount of Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. and sent Moses also and Aaron, that was his brother Moses, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwell in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I give them into your hand, that you may possess their land. And I destroy them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and I delivered them into your hand, and I sent the hornets before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with the sword, nor with the bow. And I have given you the land which ye did not labor, cities which ye did not build, and you dwell on them. And the vineyards and the olive yards which you plant not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. Who you going to serve? Joshua just went through all of them since they leave Egypt, since he got them out from there, through the whole Exodus. He just remind him, who got you out of the land of Egypt, who saved you from Pharaoh, who gave you the strength to win the battles from the Amorites, you know, that you may possess the land that God has promised to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He just went through all that just to make them understanding, who do you serve? And so he's like putting them right in the spot right there. Now I ask you right now, if it's evil for you to serve the true Lord, choose today who you're going to serve. So it's like the same question they is asking us today. Who are you going to serve? But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the sign that is above my door. And so it really made me think about it. And so choose today who you're going to serve. It's a question that we should ask ourselves, like every day. Because there's so many gods up there waiting for you to accept them in your heart. And those gods, as we know, in the Book of Mormon teach a lot of those. After God has blessed his people in those days, and through the years, they get rich and they get all this and that, they start to forgive at God. It's the same. It's the same these days. Once God has blessed you from whatever blessing you have asked, work, jobs, exams, you know, high school exams, college exams, and all that stuff, you have asked God to lead you, that He may step forward and help you with that. And if you dare pass the exam and you have received the blessing of whatever you were dealing with, and you know that God has stepped in and helped you, glorify Him and give Him the, you know, thanks, the glory that He deserves. And acknowledge, just acknowledge that God has helped you, that He has helped you with whatever situation you had, whatever situation you were going through. No matter what happens, I feel good. I don't feel sick. I hardly get sick. Thank you, Lord. But I know that others have issues with life, with sicknesses, work. As a young, you know, trying to find out, figure it out, what things to do in life, and it's not easy. It's not easy. And so you just have to lean in the God that you know, the God who has brought you even to this day, even to this day. You know, in my 17s, my 20s, I used to ask myself if I was going to make it through my 30s, because I was a troublemaker. So I know that a lot of young kids, are they going to experience those things? We may do the best we can to prevent them from doing those things. But you know what? They're going to have to try themselves. They're going to have to do and try to survive in this world that we live themselves. But by then, they don't have to do it by themselves, because God is with them. Don't forget what you have learned being here. Don't forget what you have heard, the promises from God, the love that He has. Because like a father, He guides us. And He will kind of, a lot of the times, just like any father, He will teach us lessons. He will pass us through fire just to purify us. But as a believer and Christian, you have the opportunity to, if you fall, to stand up, shake up the dust, and continue, and ask for forgiveness. Because That's the amazing thing about God, that He is full of mercy, love, that He's willing to hear you, to listen, see what you have to say. Because I know He can read your heart, but it's better if He, from your lips, ask God to forgive you, whatever you have done. Because we're not perfect. We're not perfect, and at the end, by our imperfections, we're going to be judged. But I think that I believe that as long as we walk by His side, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. And so, there are many ways to remember who we serve. And this thing everybody knows, oil is 3-in-1. I don't know what's 3-in-1 really. It's oil, but I don't know what else is in there. But it's really good stuff for your equipments and tools and stuff to keep them clean and easy going. So without this oil, your tools and everything else will go bad, you know. So 3-in-1 is something that I come out to kind of put this together. there's a lot of people having a battle right now because they believe that, you know, some churches or they believe there's only one God. There's no three gods. And they're right. There's no three gods. There's no three gods. There's only one God. But there's three in one. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. And I wouldn't say mystery, but it's something just to kind of help us to understand. So in Philippians 1:2, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. God is our Father. It's our Lord. So three in one does make no sense yet. But in Titus 2:13, it says, looking for the blessing, hope in the glorious, the Spirit of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's two right there. But, you know, how can it be? So this, if you're trying to prove yourself to some other religion, like the Jehovah Witnesses, which they believe there's only one God, it would be a battle that has no end. Because a lot of scriptures mentions that there's only one God, and you'll be saved by God if you believe in God. They leave our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the side. If you go to church, Virgin Mary is above Christ. Christ is on the bottom and Virgin Mary is on the top. So it's there's a lot of those things that we have to learn these days. We have to and who we trust. You know? We know who we believe. And it's pretty cool that in the Book of Mormon teach that everything was done, created by Jesus Christ. You know, when I start first reading the Book of Mormon, if the Book of Mormon was before Christ, how is it that they know about Christ? Why they keep mentioning Jesus Christ if Christ hasn't even born yet? But that's why God has prophets. They learn from the prophets, because the prophets, the angel of the Lord, will speak to the prophets, and that's how they knew about who was coming, who is this Lamb of God. You know, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, I believe, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, what was the prophecy that he said right there? Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? I see the fire in the wood, and where is the lamb? And well, he didn't even say the lamb, but he said the sacrifice. And Abraham told him, God will provide himself a lamb. All that is tied up to the New Testament. All that is tied up with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in John, 1 John 5:7, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Why would Jesus say to his disciples to baptize and make more disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? That he said it just for fun. You know, the whole time that he was here with us, he was teaching us. He was teaching them, of course. And now these days, if we didn't have these books, we would not know. But it's teaching us who to follow his examples from the beginning. Everything that he did, it was for us to continue on doing it until he returns again. There's a lot of questions up there to ask, but not pretty difficult to understand. But for others, it can be. So you see right here in 1 John 5:7, there's three: the Father, the Word, which is Christ and the Holy Ghost. And when you start reading the book of John, like the first chapter, there it says that everything was created by him, and without him, nothing was created. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He was from the beginning to the end. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is what we're talking about here today. This is who we serve. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we and him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things are created, and we are by him. You find this in 1 Corinthians 8:6. It just takes a little bit of time for you to open your books and get the question, find the question, I mean the answer of your question that you have. And that's all it takes. But of course, like I said, we live in days that we are so busy, we don't have that time. In Mosiah 1:99-103, it says, and he shall cast devils. This is a prophecy from the old days. All the evil spirits which dwells in hearts of the children of men. No, he shall suffer temptations, pain of body, hunger, thirst, fatigue, even more than men can suffer except be unto death. I cannot ever go 40 days without eating and drinking like Jesus Christ there. This is who are they talking about here in Mosiah. This is like 400 years even before all this happened, even before was Christ born. This is a prophecy that was given to Mosiah by the angel of God. And how did they know? That's why it's all it takes is a little bit of faith and belief, and not be like, even when Jesus was walking with his disciples, what happened when he appeared to his disciples after his crucifixion? What did Thomas said? Unless, if I put my fingers through his nail prints and my hand on his side, I will not believe that you guys saw him in flesh and bones. There's many people just like Thomas up there. And what did Christ tell him? It's pretty amazing what Christ told him after that. You believe because you see me. But blessed are those who believe in me and they haven't seen me. That is amazing. Behold, blood coming from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and abomination of his people, of this people, of our people, about these people in this world. He did it for you and I. He shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things. The Creator of all things. This is what we're talking about today. There is only one God, one Creator, from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh into his own, the salvation may come into the children of men, even through faith in his name. A little bit of faith, that's all it takes. So King Benjamin was trying to make a point here, even that applied to us, even these days. He was trying to remark who is Jesus Christ. Who do we serve? Who did they say, who's God? He's the Great Spirit, he's God, he's Jehovah, he's Yahweh, he's has so many names. He's the he has so many names, but it all comes to just Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Surprised me that when we ask this question to people that don't know God, what can you provide for them, you know? So we have to be a little bit, by learning all this, you will have an answer for those people. Like I said, you know, a lot of people up there, they're not ready yet. They're not ready to meet God. They're not ready. There will be a time, and that time is coming pretty quick. They're gonna be people looking for the truth. They're gonna be hungry of the truth of the word, but the truth won't be found. It won't be found. So today is the day that we can, like a sponge, absorb all that we can, that perhaps when the day comes that we won't be able to gather it in a building, we still can come to him, as he told the woman at the well. There will be days that you can worship God from everywhere, anywhere, not just from this mountain, not just from this building. In those days, like it or not, they might come before we think. So as we have the time to gather, take advantage. Take advantage. Who does Jesus claim to be? How can we believe in him? This is something that even when he was in this world trying to prove who he was having a hard time. And so in John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He said it 7 times or maybe more than that, I am. I am. That is a really strong word that if you look at it, it has so many meanings. Who is I am? He is the bread of life. When you read his word, he nourishes us. He feeds us. He feeds our souls. That's who he is. I am. He is the bread of life. In John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. As the light of the world, he provides light in the darkness. Without him, we will be in the dark. We'll be doing things we're not supposed to do. We'll be hanging out with the ones we're not supposed to hang out, living in the darkness. He is the light. He will show you the way to go. Without light, you'll be stumbling on any obstacles. Without him, we can end up back into the hole that the one he got you out. We need Jesus in our life. Like I was telling my two students this morning, who is the Lamb of God, and Sophia and Titus, they say Jesus, and they start applauding. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and applaud. That is who we serve. Who is the Lamb of God? Jesus, yes. They were so excited. That's who we are too, ourselves. And without him, we'd be like a sheep everywhere. John 10:7, then say Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He is. And if you read this scripture thoroughly, it says, and I don't hire people. This is me. I am the door. There will be others who come. but they will be just robbers. He is the only door to heaven. Only Him can protect us from evil. Just like a corral, where when they open the doors to the sheep to go into the corral to protect them from the wolves, from those who are trying to hurt them, that is Him. That's the offer of safety that He offers you. He is the door of the sheep. Don't forget that. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Without shepherd, we are lost. Without God, we are lost. He watched over His sheep. He watched over you, over me, over those who are slightly trying to walk away. He watched over us. That's why I say I'm glad to see you here. And if you're not here for whatever reason, you're sick, if you're able to open the TV and watch us over that live streaming, that's even awesome. One way or another, we have to feed ourselves from the Word of God. He watches over you. He protects you. He's the light. He's the door. He's the bread. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. We're speaking about one God, not many gods. Just like Joshua told him, you're willing to serve the one God that we serve or the many gods that your father served on the other side of Jordan? Who do we serve? Who do we follow? And to whom we trust? He give us the insurance of life even if we die. If we die in Christ, we serve, we will come back. We will have life in Christ. That is His promise to us, to you and I. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To finish it up, it says, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father. He is offering you the path. I am the way. Follow this path. You know, you get baptized and the door is open, but that's not it. That's not it. It's a long way still, and you're going to have problems on the way. But you have walked through the door of baptism. That means that He will be with you through the whole way. I think that's amazing to kind of know, to put it in that, in those words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You want to make it to heaven? You want to be with Him, in heaven with Him, with those that you love? Jesus is the only way. And through Him, we will be able to be with Him, with Him, with the ones you love. My hope is that I'll be running into all of you as we run into all of you when we go to reunions. That's amazing. John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He instructs us in a way that we have to stay connected. He is the vine. We stay by him being the vine, we are branches, are connected to Him. And if we are connected to Him, we will produce good fruit. I love the way it's put up here. I love the way they explain it. And without Him, we cannot make good fruit. But we are part of His vineyard. He is the true vine. In Exodus 3:11-13, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Excuses. Moses was full of excuses. We are full of excuses. That I should bring the people of the children of Israel from Egypt. And he says, certainly I will be with thee. See, he keeps saying it. He will be with you. You're not alone. And this should be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, you should serve God up on this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And this is what God told him. And to Moses, I am that I am. I just went through all those I ams who Christ claims to be. I am. And in Exodus here, God is talking to Moses. What he says, I am that I am. And he say, thou shalt thus say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. He is God. He is from the beginning to the end. And guess what? He never changed. God never changed. If he claims to be who he is from the beginning, he is from the beginning to the end. In the book of Revelation, that's what it says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our God. This is who we serve. In Exodus 3:14, and God saying to Moses, I am that I am. God never changed. He is the same. And we're going to read that in 3 Nephi 11:9. For I am the Lord, I change not. He never changed. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. This is who he claims to be. In 3 Nephi 11:4, and these are the words which he there told unto them, saying, thus says the Father unto Malachi. Even in the Book of Mormon, is God is telling you, you know, this message is going to go to this guy, to my prophet Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant who you delight in. Behold, he shall come and say, the Lord of hosts. You can find that in 3 Nephi 11:4, and of course in Malachi, I think it's the last chapter of Malachi. Jesus is quoting his own words about his coming. Four hundred forty years before. The story of Samuel the Lamanite, he prophesied about Jesus in 5 B.C. before Jesus' birth. In the book of Helaman, 5:55. If you remember, it's well told, well known. We have read so many times about Samuel, how he prophesied that what was going to happen in the birth of Jesus and when he was crucified. And the ones that did not believe, they wanted to kill the ones who believed in that prophecy. But on that very same day, we all know that Christ was born, it was a day that had no end. When Christ died, there was a turmoil, or there was earthquakes, there was destruction. That was the signs, even in this land, in this continental. You don't see that, you don't read that in the Bible, but in the Book of Mormon, it has those prophecies. So, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. He is the Almighty. The Holy Spirit is God, three in one, just like the bottle oil that I showed first, three in one, three gods, three personage, one God. Psalms 102:27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. There's no end. There's no change. He's the same forever. So don't let people come into you with a different type of understanding of who God is. Just like many up there, there's only one God. Yes, it is. But only through the one who suffered on the cross and died for you, for your sins, only through him you should be saved. It's not just belief. If you believe in God, you should be saved. Yes, you would be saved. But you had to tie the knot with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You had to be baptized, which is people don't believe that they need to do that. That anybody can do it too. It's just so many false doctrines up there. Don't take it from me, but read your scriptures. And it's all right there. It's all right there. There's no need to be confused. It doesn't have to be difficult to understand that. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And his names can be different, but it's the same God. These names that I have here is a few of the who that he can be, all the names. There's so many names. But, and all these, his names are holy. Something that these days we don't take it so serious, but in days before, you were not allowed to say he's God in vain. You know what? I take it back. Even now, it's one of the commandments. You should not say the God's name in vain. Just like many people do it as a joke. Yes, God's name is holy. You can say his name just because. That's something that we had to follow. That's one of his commandments. Wow. To finish up my sermon this morning, I just leave you guys with this. The scripture, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ trying to fight and prove through all the Israelites years after claiming his name, who he was. But what happened at the end, they end up killing him just because they didn't know who he was. And even now, they still don't know. But John 8:58 says, Jesus saying to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham, was, I am. I was with Abraham even before. And this, if he did not convince them in those days, how can we convince them these days? It's hard. But we had to put our trust in God that he touched the hearts of them who are seeking for the truth. And only through God that particular person will find the truth in the way. Because God says that he knows his own already. We just have to trust in the leading and to whom we have to go to. Well, with that, that's my sermon for this morning, and I hope that it makes sense and make a point. I hope it was a blessing to you. Thank you so much.